Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. I made a notation in my Bible above this chapter that says, the message of Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, we're reading verses 3 to 7, and the scriptures read, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace shall never end." Let's continue. "He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." Father, we thank you and praise you for your living word. Lord, you are alive. Lord, I pray this morning that we would experience what you declared in the book of Revelation, Lord Jesus. "Behold, I am he who lived and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore." And you are. From all eternity past and from all eternity future, you are the living one. And we praise you and we bless you this morning. Lord, we ask that your presence would be here today in a special way, and that the Spirit of the living God would open up our hearts and open up our minds to experience the occasion, the historical event, O God, that we celebrate today afresh and anew in our hearts. Father, we ask your blessing upon all that is being done here today. We ask, Lord, that our ears would be attentive to your word and our hearts open to what the Spirit is speaking, that your word may accomplish your purposes and prosper for the reasons for which you imparted today and for the plans and purposes that you will accomplish in us and through us. We ask your blessing upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Please be seated. We're going to have an abbreviated service today, God willing. We appreciate the fact that you all came out this morning. I think it's wonderful that Christmas fell on Sunday this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Christmas this year has been under attack, unlike I remember it being under attack in any previous years. And it seems like the attacks against Christmas are getting worse and worse and worse. Forces of secularization. By secularization, we mean the elimination of everything spiritual and religious out of the public square. Forces of secularization and political correctness, which is a misnomer, have been overwhelmingly poised against the Church of Jesus Christ, against the name of Jesus Christ, and it's not against all things religious, just Christianity in particular, and against the name of Jesus Christ in particular. Exerting pressure on us from every direction. Few of us realize how much pressure there is. Political correctness is a misnomer, because if political correctness was political correctness, everyone should feel free to say Merry Christmas. But it's not politically correct. It's politically incorrect. Political correctness is indeed a form of oppression. It's not a badge of freedom. It's a form of oppression. Because if we were politically correct, we'd be free to wish you a Merry Christmas. We'd be free to wish you a Happy Hanukkah. We'd be free to wish you a Happy Holiday. We'd be free. But how many of us think twice before we even say Merry Christmas? Because it has been drummed into our hearts, drummed into our minds. We can't say that. And we find ourselves the subtle victims of a very subtle oppression more and more and more. I want you to know that I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And I usually do it first before they wish it back to me. And yes, I even wish Merry Christmas to my workers and to the people that I do business with and to the people that do business with me in my job. I wish them a Merry Christmas. And if they're offended at that, that's not my problem, is it? And if I know that they don't celebrate Christmas, I wish them a happy Hanukkah, because that's what they do celebrate. And if they celebrate anything in between them, I wish them a happy holiday, because I don't recognize anything else. That's just me. Only Christianity is under attack. It's no small thing. And only Christians are the ones that are being depicted in our culture and society as narrow and intolerant, where in fact political correctness in itself is narrow and intolerant. Why is Christianity the target? Why? Why? Because Christianity is the truth. All other religions and all other religious systems are false. That's the claim that this book makes, and that's the claim that those that believe in this book agree with. They're false. All roads do not lead to Rome when it comes to spiritual things. One road leads to heaven, and that road is a way, and that way is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, and Him alone leads to heaven. Christianity is the target because it's the truth. Christianity is the target because all other groups of people are already standing condemned in the broad way that leads to destruction. That's what this book declares. And that's what political correctness refrains and keeps preachers from proclaiming. But not this one. Interesting how political correctness keeps the truth from being told, and the oppression is being spoken of as if it's freedom, and keeps the truth from being told, and the truth is being spoken of as if it's oppression. What a diabolical scheme has been foisted upon us. Christianity is the target because it's about the birth of the King, the Messiah. Do you know why we are battling to keep Christ in Christmas? Because Christ means the anointed Messiah. Not an anointed Messiah. The anointed Messiah. And everybody that understands the language that Christ means, the anointed Messiah, understands that people describe Christ, Jesus, as King Jesus. Jesus the Christ. The King. And the enemy doesn't want to hear that. And the enemy throws everything he can behind a movement and a system that will keep that quiet or squash it or quell it altogether. Jesus the King is the birth we celebrate. He's not the King of angels. He's the King of all mankind, whether all mankind acknowledges Him as King or not. He's the King because He's the Christ and He's the Messiah. That's the message of Christmas. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, that it is enough for the disciple to be as his teacher. And it is enough for the disciple to be as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that's him. How much more shall they call them of his own household? I want you to know that you can wear a badge of honor and stick your head up in pride when somebody says you're a devil worshiper because they call Jesus Christ the devil himself. And if they're telling you you're doing something oppressive and you're doing something wrong and you're doing something with malice because you name the name of Christ, hold your head up high and say, thank you that I've been found worthy to be called what you called my Lord and what you called my King. I must have something for the enemy to target in order for you to do that. So that's a backhanded compliment for me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To God belongs the glory. Hallelujah. What shall we do? You know what we shall do? We shall celebrate Christmas. That's what we shall do. That's the title of my message this morning. Celebrating Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Christmas is the celebration of a new beginning. A new beginning. God entered the world. The scripture says, unto us a child is born. Think of it, that God Himself came into the human existence as a baby in our form. Living our life, being birthed into this world as every child is birthed into this world. He knows what it's like to be in the womb for 9 months. He knows what it's like to come through that birth canal. He knows what it's like to experience the pressure coming through into a new existence, into a new world. He knows what it's like to breathe that first breath of oxygen. A child is born. The last Adam was born into Jesus Christ, was born into a fallen race to give that race a new beginning, a new start. Christmas is the celebration of a new beginning. Christmas is the celebration of a new start. A new generation of people, unlike any generation that has ever existed in history, came through the birth of Jesus Christ. He didn't come to start a religious denomination. He came to start a family. And he came to initiate a new race of men and women who would be born again into the kingdom of God, and in whom his spirit would dwell, making the Christian unlike any other nation on the planet. That's why the scripture says, you are a chosen generation. You are a holy what? Nation. We should have a Christian flag at the United Nations. In that circle of nations flying all of those flags, there should be this flag flying there, because we are a nation more so than any other nation and nationality described by any geographic boundary. We are the holy nation of God. All of those who name the name of Christ and who love him and in whom he dwells, regardless of your denominational label, you are a holy people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, and a holy nation. You have been a partaker of a new beginning. A new life has come through the last Adam, whose birth we celebrate on this day. A true new race of his image bearers. Think about it. We don't just mirror God's outward appearance. He looks something like us. We look something like him. But we bear a mirror image of his inward nature by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And that is something that Christianity cannot be missing, that indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, because that is what gives us the new nature. So when Jesus Christ was born into this world, when he made this entrance into this human condition, he established a new bulwark. He established a new line of demarcation. And from that point forward, a new nation began on the planet that no one can oppress and no one can conquer and no one can stop and no one can defeat. The celebration of Christmas is the celebration of a new beginning. Praise the Lord. When I became a born-again Christian, I could celebrate Christmas unlike I've never celebrated it in all of my life up until that time. And I thought I celebrated Christmas. But once I was a new creature in Christ, I knew to celebrate it like I never celebrated it before, because it became life to me. And I know it became life to so many who likewise were born into the kingdom. A new race of image bearers who were no longer victimized by sin, but victorious over sin. A race that was no longer bound by death, but triumphant over death. A race that was the establishment of a complete reversal of nature. Do you realize that for this new nation, death doesn't follow life? Life follows death. And there is no end for this new nation. Jesus Christ said, he who believes in me shall never die. He who lives and believes in me shall live forever. You and I will never die. And we celebrate that new beginning, that new nation. And every single person who hears the true message of Christmas has that message imparted to them, that you can have a new beginning. You can have a new life. And you can have it over and over and over and over again until you get it right. Praise the Lord. Because that's what God wants you to have. So celebrating Christmas is celebrating a new beginning. Because of Christmas, everybody and anybody that wants one can have a new beginning. That's politically correct. Because of Christmas, anyone can abandon a life lived in darkness for one lived in the light. Because of Christmas, anyone can be born again into the new race that will never, 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 ever die. Celebrating Christmas is celebrating every believer's new beginning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Secondly, celebration of Christmas is a celebration of light. It's not only a celebration of a new beginning, but it's a celebration of light. The scripture says in this passage of scripture that the people who sat in darkness will see a great light. A great, great light. Unto those who sat in the land of the deep darkness, or in the land of the shadow of death, unto them a light will shine. I love this aspect of the message of Christmas. It's the celebration of light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the disciples and he said to them, I am the light of the world. Oh, nobody else could ever say that. No other leader of a religious movement could ever say that. No other leader of a religious establishment or a religious system could ever even wish to state that with any truth. But Jesus Christ can only say, like he can only say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Celebrating Christmas is celebrating the entrance of light incomparable to any other light that ever existed. It's not just like the light that comes from people with intellectual revelation. It's not a light that comes to people even with a philosophical revelation. You know, somebody says, there's nobody, you know, the lights are on, but there's nobody home. You ever hear that expression? Well, some people don't even have the lights on. The lights are not on and there isn't anybody home. But sometimes people have a revelation and the light goes on. It says, hey, I finally got it. I got with it. The light goes on. I got to get a job. The light goes on. I got to pay my taxes. The light goes on. I got responsibilities. But I want you to know something this morning, that the light we celebrate at Christmas is not like any of that kind of light. This light is a light that we live in that will cause us to never, ever walk in darkness again unless we choose to. Think of that. It's a light that never goes off. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, nor any other religious leader can never be the light. Only Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The creator of the universe with us, Emmanuel, in human form. The ruler and king of the universe. No other person can make that claim. The light only, and this light, and this light alone, dispels darkness all the time, without fail. This world's best remedy for the darkness that mankind is living in is looked upon as a form of light, but it isn't light at all. It's just a lighter shade of darkness, isn't it? This world's remedy against the results of sin and the ravages of sin and the ravages of a broken life. Only at its best, this world can only teach us to manage the symptoms of sin. It's like pain management therapy. Pain management therapy is good. You have to learn how to manage pain if you're experiencing pain. But all of the symptoms and all of the systems of this world, rather, they can only at their best teach mankind and help mankind manage the symptoms of the effects of sin. Only the light that comes from Jesus Christ can help us to be rid of the symptoms of sin forever. And you don't have to manage your sins anymore. And you don't have to manage the symptoms of your sins anymore. You can be done with them forever because those things belonged in the dark. And you're not living in the dark anymore. You're living in the light if you belong to Jesus Christ. I think one of the most glaring examples of this kind of duality that has hoodwinked mankind is spoken of, and I'll just give you this illustration, in today's Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. In an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and I never was an alcoholic, I was never in a position like that, in that kind of an addictive lifestyle, but I was a sinaholic, and I had it bad. And I was an up and outer, bound for hell and an eternal destruction. But in an AA meeting today, you'll have an AA person who hasn't been drinking for years stand up and say, hi, my name is Damien. I'm an alcoholic. When was the last time you took a drink? I haven't had a drink in 13 years. Why do you still call yourself an alcoholic? Because they're teaching you to manage your system and your symptoms of your sin and telling you, you'll always be an alcoholic. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you come to Christ and he sets you free and you walk in the light, you're not living in the darkness anymore. And you can truly say, I once was an alcoholic, but I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I'm a child of the living God. And I have a new life. And I walk in a new light. And there's no darkness in it at all. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 5, the scripture says this. Oh, this is the verse of Christmas. The light shines in the darkness. Speaking about Jesus coming into the world, John writes and he says, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not able to comprehend it. You know what that really means? In the New Living Translation, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Hallelujah. That's light. That's light. The light that Christ brings overcomes and conquers the darkness of sin, guilt, and shame. The light that Christ brings breaks the power of addiction, bondage, and slavery to sin. It doesn't teach you to manage your addiction. It teaches you to get set free from your addiction forever, once and for all, period. Period. The light that comes from Christ eliminates the power of sin and the sting of death. Do you know that you can live a sinless life? Yes, amen. We know that, Pastor. Amen. You don't have to sin. And don't you be politically correct and say, well, you know, we're all going to sin. Why do you say that? Why don't you just say, well, you know what? We can all live holy. Why don't you just do that? It takes as much brain power and emotional energy and vocabulary to say, I'm living a holy life. You don't have to sin. Our sins should be sins of omission, not commission. But we can live without sins of commission because we choose to. And Christ gives us the power to live a sinless life. And that's what we're called to do. It's part of the sanctification process that every believer lives with. But somehow or other, we've adopted the mindset of the world out there, the therapy-driven world out there, the world out there that at its best tries to help you to manage your symptoms. And we've said, well, you know, we just tried, you know, I'm just sinning less than I used to sin. Do you mean to tell me that the light that comes from Jesus, the Christ, the light that comes from an eternal loving Father is only able to help you sin less? Or is it able to help you live holy and not sin? How powerful is that light? Or how weakened have we made it? The light that comes from Christ enables believer to live a holy life of spiritual power. God's light is His one-step program. You've either got it or you don't. In one step. Period. I'm not criticizing any other program. But if Bill were alive today, he'd be crawling and he'd be spinning over in his grave at what AA has become. Because that's not how he started it. Bill W., when he started AA, you got saved when you went to his meetings. You got born again of the Spirit of God and you got filled with the Spirit of God and you didn't drink anymore and you were changed and transformed. But because of the secularization of this world and the secularization of that ministry, it has become what it is today. And we have people giving up one addiction for another addiction. And then they give up that addiction for another addiction and another addiction. I declare to you this morning that the light that comes from Jesus Christ sets captives free from every addiction, every addictive behavior, and sets their minds at liberty not to live in that addictive mindset ever again, but to live a free life that can only come from Him. That's the message of Christmas. It's the message of light and a celebration of light. Thirdly, the celebration of Christmas is a celebration of hope. Because of Christmas, anybody can have hope anywhere and anytime. Do you know what encourages me? When I read that the child was born to those who sat in darkness and to those who lived in the shadow of death, to them a light has shone. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God didn't come and make His entrance and make His revelation to those that were doing the right thing. He didn't come and make Himself known and make an entrance to those who were hopeful, but to those who were hopeless. He didn't come to people who was trying to get it right. He came to those sitting in darkness. He came to those that didn't have it together. He came to those that weren't where they were supposed to be. He came to those that had no hope. And He came to them first. He came to people living under the shadow of death. He came to people in their lowest and most broken place in every level of society. He came to the bottom. To the bottom. The King came to the bottom. He came to the bottom first. So that He could get, why? Why didn't He come from the top down? Everything flows from the top down. Not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, everything flows from the bottom up. He came to the bottom first, because if He can reach the bottom, He could reach everybody else above them. Can you imagine if He came to the top? There may be those at the bottom saying, it's too high. It's not for me. It's for somebody else. It's for somebody else, not for me. I can't reach that high. I can't climb that high. I'll never be what they are. But he didn't. That light came to those sitting in the land of the shadow of death with no hope, with no prospects, with no possibility, with no potential, with no capacity for change. He came to them. That's the message of Christmas. It's a celebration of hope. Hope. He didn't come to those who were living right to help them live better. He didn't come to those who were trying hard to keep them together, to keep it together and give them strength to try harder. He didn't come to those who had something going for them and needed a little boost. He came to the utterly hopeless, the disqualified, those living in the doom of darkness of sin, those without strength, without hope, those with no prospect of improvement. He came to the hopeless so all others with them could have hope of a new life. That's who he came to on Christmas when we celebrate. Finally, Christmas is the celebration of love. It's the celebration of a new beginning. It's the celebration of light. It's the celebration of hope. And it's the celebration of love. The Christmas story is John 3:16 and 17. Acted out in dramatic fashion. For God so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, that the politically correct crowd would quote that verse. Oh, that the legalistic church would remember that verse. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God sent his Son to the world that the world through him might be saved. Love does that. Love does that. Love pushes beyond the things you're not doing right and reaches the heart and says, you can do better. I want you to do better. I'll help you do better. And I'll stay with you until you do. Love does that. There is no darkness that can resist this kind of good news. There is no other religion that can compete with New Testament Christianity because no other religion can offer what New Testament Christianity offers. The love of God prompted him to come to us, to live like us, to obtain the victory over sin, death, and the grave so we could be like him, live like him, love like him, reign with him. That's the message of Christmas. I want to challenge you to live in the light. In 2012, live in the light of a new beginning. Live in the light of a new life. Live in the light of a new hope in 2012. Live in the light of a new, fresh, agape love in 2012. And conquer every evil. And conquer and defeat every sin. And conquer and defeat and destroy every addictive power. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Live in the height of hope. Live in the hope of freedom. And live in the victory that that freedom can only bring. The call of the gospel is not narrow. It's universal. The good news of the gospel is not narrow. It's universal. Oh, you'll hear the political correct crowd. And you'll hear the secularists say, oh, your mindset is too narrow. Why is it too narrow? Because we say there's only one door. And Jesus said, I am the door. If by me man enters in, he will find pasture and go in and out and find life and life eternal. Yeah, you New Testament Christians, you're so narrow. Let me tell you something about that one door. That door is wide enough for all mankind. What a door. It's not narrow. It's wide enough for everybody who wants to come can come. Anyone who comes, wants to come, can enter that door. Anybody. It's open to everyone regardless of nationality. It's open to everyone regardless of religious background. It's open to everyone regardless of philosophical background and philosophical persuasion. Regardless of whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are. That door is open to everyone. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's not narrow. That's broad. That's not narrow. That's world-reaching. He reaches as far left as you can get to as far right as you can get. He reaches as high as you can get and as low as you can get. That's the embrace of the love of God. That's what we celebrate this Christmas. Let's all stand this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need a new life. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need a new light. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need new hope. Perhaps you're watching, or you might be listening, and you find yourself in need of something you've never had before. Today's your day. If you will surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You don't just give him a part of it. You surrender your life to Christ. And then you receive him as Lord and as Savior. And he becomes just that, and you become his child forever. And I wonder if you would just follow me in this prayer for the sake of those that might be watching, that this may be the day that they enter life for the first time. That this may be the first time they experience the true meaning of Christmas. And if you're here this morning and this is you, I'd like to ask you to come up and speak to me or speak to one of us this morning before you leave this building. But let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we surrender our lives totally and completely to you. We ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. Wash them away with your blood. We ask you to come into our hearts and lives. To become our Lord and our Savior. We surrender our lives completely to you, Lord. And ask you to fill us with your Spirit. And fill us with your power. To live for you. All the days of our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, Father, for those that may have prayed this prayer for the first time and meant it, Lord, I thank you for entering their lives and giving them new life. I thank you for entering their lives and giving them new light, new hope, new power, new strength. Lord, your word says, to those who receive you, to them you gave power to become the sons and daughters of God. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, breaking every yoke of oppression, breaking every yoke of bondage, breaking every chain of addiction, breaking every chain of sin in the name of Jesus Christ and the thoughts that keep people bound. Lord, we come against half-truths that keep people enslaved in sinful lifestyles. Lord, we come against half-truths this morning that keep people enslaved in dependent lifestyles upon therapies and upon men and upon drugs and upon other crutches, oh God. Where you came to set the captive free, make them free indeed this morning, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for new life this morning, Lord. I thank you for a new beginning for somebody that's hearing and watching. I thank you for a new beginning for them this morning, oh Lord. Thank you for life. Father, this morning as we depart from each other's company, may we never depart from your presence. As we visit with family and friends today, may your presence be with us. May the hope and light and love that we celebrate today be carried in our hearts, be communicated in our fellowship today, in our breaking bread today, and in the time that we spend with one another for your honor and for your glory. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within you, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, unto him be glory in the church, and through the church until the end of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen and amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you.